Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Happy Mother's Day belated to all you moms whose kids totally forgot.
And happy Mother's Day to all the dads who have to play mommy. You guys don't ever get any credit either. Happy Mother's Day. I had the best Mother's Day. I'm going to be honest with you.
Tell us about it.
I went to the most fun drag brunch yesterday at my girl's place called Pally House. And Jake Dupree was there. I don't know if you guys know him, but he dances often with Dita Von Teese. And the drag queens were so beautiful. And the moms were having the best time. The moms that were there. It was so much fun. And so not a traditional Mother's Day, but such a way to celebrate.
Nice.
I loved it.
Yeah, I was in San Francisco, did the Equality California Gala on Saturday night, where one of the three recipients was Rita Moreno. Interestingly enough, Carmen Carrera was the MC for the evening, and boy, did she really work it. I was very impressed at her political savvy and her way she was able to articulate points about the community, and not just in a very like reality star who happens to be pretty way. She was really quite well-informed, and she did a really nice job. Very, very impressed with her. I guess I was sleeping on her and just kind of saw her performance videos and never heard her speak in this kind of fashion. She clearly has been doing the circuit as an advocate for a while now. She was quite moving, and I was very impressed with her work. And so then yesterday, flew home, had a day of just Instagram pictures of, oh, here's my mom, here's my mom, here's my mom. I was like, God, you guys have some ugly mothers. That's all I could think of.
Stop it.
Horrible.
They did
people.
Some beautiful
no,
makeover.
Here's
on
what
them.
It is. The focus was so much on mommy, mommy, mommy. And when you literally are like not in the space of that, you're literally like, okay, I get it. Backstory. So not totally of a disconnected relationship with my mother, but it was very fascinating to see the moms who are, which was interesting to me too. We're talking about this on the plane. Moms who you visit and moms who visit you. Is there a difference?
No, there's not a difference at all.
Like, for instance, there are some moms who will never visit you if you live out of state. And there's some moms who are like, I don't want you to come to the family house. I want to go on an adventure with you. So it's fascinating. We're having the lady I was sitting next to, she was like, there are moms you visit and there are moms who visit you. And I was like, this is fascinating. Go on, go on. And that's what she was talking about.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
interesting.
It was great, really special to see different styles of moms being celebrated. Those that were biological moms, mothers of choice, moms who were older, grandmother figures who stepped in. It was very sweet.
Yeah, it was really sweet. Well, I had a great weekend. Again, happy Mother's Day to all the mamas. I had a great show in Vegas Friday and Saturday night at the Cosmopolitan. That was really fun. There was a lot of mothers that were there. But we have a great show for you today because we have Johnny McGovern from Hey Queen joining us.
He's the original gay pimp. When I was coming up in New York City, gosh, it couldn't even any good party he was throwing.
I love that. Well, yeah. Now he's super, super talented. He's been in the business for so long and he worked his butt off.
To get this show that he's got, and now it's like booming.
Booming. I mean, I want to know who his first guest was. I want to know who gave him the first chance.
By the way, I thought it was good back when I did it years ago. And he's like, no, that when you did it, it was rinky dink. And I was like, really? Because it was like really good back then. Camera crews and the whole bit. And I don't know. Anyway, well, it's time for some news on the beat because we missed a whole bunch of stuff this weekend. But don't worry, we're going to catch you up with some news right now. Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys, a lesbian lawmaker in Texas has managed to kill a license to discriminate bill. Now, Representative Julie Johnson, a Democrat from the Dallas suburb of Carrollton, used a legislative maneuver known as a point of order to bump the bill from the debate calendar. Now, Thursday, the deadline for House members to pass measures that originated in the chamber, the Dallas Morning News reports. The legislation, House Bill 3172, would have barred the state government, city and county governments, and courts from taking adverse action against an individual, organization, or business for member in affiliation with or contribution, donation, or other support of a religious group. Now, its proponents said it would have prevented actions such as the San Antonio City Council's decision not to allow a Chick-fil-A restaurant at the city's airport because of the company's donations to anti-LGBTQ groups, leading some opponents to call it the Save Chick-fil-A Bill. Now, some others called it Bathroom Bill 2.0, a reference to the anti-transgender measure that failed to pass in 2017 A few legislators cheered, and someone played a recording of the famous military bugle called Taps. All right, guys, moving on. When the G20 Economic Summit is held next month in Japan, all eyes will be on President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping. There's more than a good chance the two will meet in person during the summit to discuss the ongoing trade battle between the two countries, White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow said. Now, last week, the Trump administration raised tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods to 25%. Kudlow said the Chinese will retaliate. Talks between the countries ended without a deal on Friday, and no news have been scheduled. President Trump feels he can wait out on the economic damage because he says the Chinese will pay the tariffs, but even Kudlow admits that not really true. U.S. companies pay the tariffs, and those extra costs are often passed on to consumers. All right, guys, moving on. LGBTQ military nonprofits OutServe, SLDN, and the American Military Partner Association are merging to form the Modern Military Association of America, which will be the nation's largest organization dedicated to education, advocacy, and support for LGBTQ service members, military spouses, veterans, family members, and allies. They announced the merger Saturday night at the AMPA National Gala at the Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. All staff members of both groups will stay on while the two boards of directors will merge. OutServe SLDN itself grew out of the merger of OutServe and Service Members Legal Defense Network in 2012. Now, the new group will likewise continue helping military personnel receive legal name changes and fight discrimination, and through the recently launched Rainbow Shield program, offer service providers cultural competency training so they can better assist LGBTQ military members and veterans. The AMPA Military Spouse Scholarship Program will continue too. All right, you guys, that's some of the stories that we have for you. But find out what yearly TV event is coming to an end after 20 years. We'll have that story coming up next.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So one of my favorite annual events used to be the Victoria's Secret's fashion show. Again, kind of before Drag Race was on VH1 with high production values. Mm-hmm. So to me, it felt the same.
Yeah, I used to love the Victoria. We used to make a big party of it. I know a lot of girls did. They would come over in your pajamas and you'd have like wine and food, even boys.
And they added the music and that kind of brought in a lot of viewers. It's not just a fashion show. You're watching for the artist.
Yeah, definitely. And I always felt like lingerie that they used wasn't necessarily something that you would wear.
No, it was like
so it was beautiful.
Aspirational.
It was sort of
costume.
Like the Met Gala of lingerie. Yeah.
So they got into big trouble in the fall. Because the chief marketing officer of Victoria's Secret's parent company, L Brands, Ed Rezik, defended the company's decision to not cast plus size or trans models in the brand shows. He said, if you're asking if we've considered putting a transgender model in the show or looked at putting a plus size model in the show, we have. And then he said, stipulated that when they tried to do a plus size show, no one watched. He then went on to explain why Victoria's Secret's won't cast, his words, transsexuals in their show. He said, I don't think we should. Well, why not? Because the show is fantasy. It's a 42-minute entertainment special. That's what it is. It is the only one of its kind in the world, and any other fashion brand in the world would take it in a minute, including the competitors that are carping at us. And they carp at us because we're the leader. They don't talk about each other. I accept that. So anyway, he says that they're fantasy, and that's why it can't happen. He later then apologized, blah, blah, blah. But do you think his words are why this went away, or is society just kind of over watching stick figures walk down the runway?
I think that it's been an issue that has been on a decline. People stopped watching it a couple of years ago. People just aren't sitting around watching these fashion shows anymore. They would rather watch RuPaul's Drag Race. I think his comments didn't help. But again, I think that we cannot force people. It's a dangerous place. We cannot force people to want to expand their brand. We cannot force people to bring in plus size women if they don't want to, or trans women if they don't want to. If that affects the ratings, then it does. But I mean, I think it's just been on a decline for a long time. And even though they try to bring diversity by bringing in different ethnicities.
They did that late, too.
They did that pretty late. Well, not really. They had Tyra Banks starting
right,
in the beginning.
But see, it was like the one out of like the 30 models. I remember in the beginning of the years, it was like, you're right, we knew them by name because there were so few. I was like, Tyra Banks.
Yeah, I just think that people are done now. And there's a lot of different lingerie companies. Victoria's Secrets felt like it was the first sexy one, so that's where everyone got it.
Where does it fall into the land of like from H&M to La Perla or whatever the top brand is? Where does like Victoria's Secret's land in terms of price point? Or is it considered like fancy, more like middle class? Like, is it?
I don't get my sexy lingerie there anymore. I feel like they totally turned their brand into pink, which is like that athleisure wear, and then it's like college lingerie.
Is it targeting mostly a college shopper, you think?
I think so. And then the Victoria's Secret side, the lingerie is just not sexy anymore to me. I feel like with other brands like Honey Burdette, like it's, you can get so much sexier. And even though it's a little more expensive, it's just better.
Do you know, going back to your original point about the Victoria's Secret fashion show, a lot of people would go watch it. I remember being in a group of girls, watched it, invited them over, and some guys came over as well. I went the next day to go with them because they, you know, were supposed to be available the next day.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it's on the runway. Because on the runway, there's extra pieces they don't tell you that do not come with it.
That's what I'm saying. It's a whole, it's artwork. It's nothing that you're going to go home with. I'm never going to go into the bedroom with Lisa with 5 foot angel wings on. It's never going to happen. I'm 5 foot. I couldn't even hold them up if I wanted to.
Like some of the crystals that you see on the runway show, you're like, gorgeous, sparkly.
Yeah.
You get there, they're like the worst. Not even a drag queen would use these kind of rhinestones.
Yeah.
It's so cheap.
It's not happening.
Well, Victoria's Secrets, for better or for worse, you are out of here with this. I wonder if this will affect your sales, because I know they got a big bump in sales generally right after the fashion show. I don't know if this is if that'll affect their business, but I will say there is now an opening for maybe some kind of fun, sexy rock music meets fashion kind of moment.
Yeah, I think you said something best. It was MTV Rocks. Wasn't that something they used to do?
I think so.
Or like the
fashion
Jingle
Rocks.
Bell Rocks.
It was like Fashion Rocks, and it was like fashion and music. I mean, think about it. The performers who would be comfortable performing in lingerie, male and female. We have people like Lizzo. We have people like Halsey, who often in their videos are, you know, have different little garments on, you know, so there's people out there that would be appropriate fixtures that fall out of runway type. But Halsey, who did perform, I think it was last year, certainly she gave a huge donation to GLSEN after this had happened, and she said no tolerance for the lack of inclusivity.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think just the days of watching women, and these women are beautiful. I'm not down to shame anybody. They're very tall, they're very skinny, they're statuesque. I think they're gorgeous. They look beautiful walking down the runway. I just think that people are overseeing that now. We want to see butts and boobies and jiggling, and
yeah,
that's just where we're at.
Yeah, the other piece too is, I think for a lot of people, it's so, at first, I think he was trying to say aspirational, but I think we've come to, because of the self-acceptance we're in now, and in this era of where we're just really learning to love ourselves as we are, I think a lot of people are feeling like that body type is nothing at all close to the average waist size of the average gal living in the States.
Yeah, I remember watching those and praying that I had a thigh gap. I used to stand in front of the mirror and pull my thighs apart.
Oh my gosh.
To look like they did. And I think that, like you said, especially with women like Lizzo coming out and being like, I look sexy, I look good, and her getting such a great response, we're starting to feel comfortable. J-Lo doesn't look like that. Yeah. Beyonce doesn't look like that. Even those iconic women, everyone's really embracing their curves.
And then when I see what they have to put themselves through, I'm like, good, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's
like these crazy early morning boot camps. Sadly, we have some, speaking of like icons, we have some really sad news. Doris Day was a Hollywood legend, died today. At 97.
I know. That's so sad.
It's sad. We'll talk about it more a little later in the show, but speaking of iconic women, Doris Day doesn't get more iconic than that.
Yeah.
Hollywood icon and legend, died 97 years old, though. Not a bad run.
No, she had a great run. That's a great life.
Yeah. How old do you want to be when you die? My friend said he wants to die young. I was like, really? That makes no sense.
No, I don't want to die young.
You just want to go 110.
I don't know. Maybe like 90. Two?
Yeah, then 89 comes and you're like, no, I meant 102.
I feel like I'm going to have a really nice life. I think I'd like to ride it out. I'd like to see my grandchildren. I'd like to have a lot of plastic surgery.
We need to get some babies happening for you then, so we can see the grandchildren.
Oh my God, is it time? Am I in that place?
That was one of the things I noticed. There was a lot of moms doing things that I didn't think moms could do yesterday. Meaning a lot of more youthful moms than I thought for their age.
Yeah.
Doing really adventurous, fun things. And I was like, I want to be that kind of parent.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's amazing. All right, well, coming up, listen, find out which YouTube star has lost over 2 million followers in just one day. I have been staring at my phone watching these updates. I think everybody has. We're going to have that story for you when we come back with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have to figure out what I'm going to do with my night. So my brother from another mother, Carson Kressley, he loves me like an older brother, but he's a very busy man. He forgets. Weeks ago, I texted him and I was like, listen, I want Michaela and I to go to the Drag Race finale, which is tonight. He's like, no problem. Getting you a pair of tickets. What does he do? Forgets all about it. And then last week, Michaela's like, hey, are we going? And I was like, right, let me text Carson. Carson's like, hey, yeah, it should be no problem. Then Tony Moore comes in. Haven't heard from Carson. And Tony Moore's like, don't worry, kids. Got you covered. Tony Moore comes through. Carson texts me over the weekend. You can have a plus one. So now I'm thinking about going to Drag Race finale tonight, even though I can't talk to you guys about it because we're sworn to secrecy there. But the panic I have as a boy going to this kind of event and a boy who likes makeup at that, what do you look like? What do you have to wear?
I think it's important to remember, though, that, you know, I was having this conversation with my best friend who's all up in drag culture. And he was like, Queen, you're not a drag queen. You don't need to. You get to just be beautiful and have your look and do your thing. Like the drag queens are coming and they're showing out, but you're not a drag queen. Right. Don't forget that. Like, you can do your regular beat. And I was like, that's for sure. But you do. I mean, the looks are going to be insane. Everyone's going to look so gorgeous. It's like the Oscars for us gay people.
And so you would think people like James Charles would be invited, but I don't think after this event. Now, if that name doesn't right off ring a bell, he's a boy. I think he was one of the first boy influencers for makeup that really kind of was out there in a big way with major campaigns from, was it CoverGirl, I believe he was?
Maybelline.
Oh, he was Maybelline as well?
Was it CoverGirl?
CoverGirl. No, Manny was Maybelline.
Yes.
Yeah, and so he was the first male CoverGirl for the brand. And anyway, he's been coming under fire. I'm going to let you kind of narrate the kind of journey that he's been on. He's a beauty influencer. I didn't really know much about him. I didn't follow him. But he's very recognizable. Like, you're like, oh, that kid.
Yeah, basically, here's the thing. You have to understand that the internet, whether or not you like it, whether or not you agree with social media or Instagram or YouTube, it has really gained a life of its own. It's where a lot of people make money. It's where a lot of people do tutorials. And so when someone says, I have a big following or a fan base, it's not just because they're egotistical. That's where they're making their money, and people are tuning into their YouTube channels
to do
makeup tutorials.
By money.
We're talking millions.
It's like more than the average, you know, American household would make in a year.
Right. So there are two different influencers that we're talking about. So Tati Westbrook is this beautiful woman. She's been in the YouTube scene for years.
She's 37.
She does makeup tutorials, and she gained a lot of fame. She had, at the time, 5 million YouTube subscribers. So James Charles, who was a teenager at the time, reached out to Tati and said, I love your work. I think you're amazing. This was way before you ever got famous. And she sort of took James under her wing and really tried to help him build his influence. Now, 3 years later, he's 19.
Just three. Wow. That's a big rise. It's fast rise for him.
Yeah. 19 years old. He's got 16 million YouTube subscribers. He has 15 million Instagram followers, and he has made a huge name for himself. He was actually one of the influencers that got invited to the Met Gala this year.
And that went under scrutiny when he was like, I just feel like this is really good for influencer visibility, you know, and everyone compared that his language was kind of tasteless because of, you know, it's usually used to talk about marginalized folk. But anyway, yeah, so he was invited to that.
So Tati Westbrook releases a video this weekend that took the internet by storm and all influencers. And basically she throws shade at James Charles in the most classy way, by the way.
She's stating facts.
But says, listen, it's time to tell the truth. James Charles is not who you think he is. And the final straw for me was after 3 years of helping him, never receiving money from him, never asking him for anything, just really loving him. Mm-hmm. He did the ultimate betrayal and promoted a company when I asked him to promote mine. And that company happens to be the direct competition for me. And I treated him like a little brother, a son. And now the disrespect. And on top of it, if you didn't know, his personal life is just as messy. And we have some audio of what she says.
Oh my God, you tried to trick a straight man into thinking he's gay yet again. And somehow you're the victim. You know, it's really disgusting to manipulate someone's sexuality, especially when they are still, you know, emerging into adulthood and don't quite have everything figured out. You are using your fame, your power, your money to play with people's emotions. You're threatening to ruin them. You're threatening to embarrass them. And you're doing that to have them behave sexually in your favor, even if they're straight. And you know what? That's not okay.
She ends up saying that that's predatory behavior. He has manipulated people sexually. And the tea was spilled because afterwards, Zara Larsson, who's a pop star, we love her, she tweeted that, oddly enough, James Charles slipped into her boyfriend's DMs and had been for a while, knowing he was a straight man who was not interested. So since then, James Charles this weekend has lost 2 million followers on YouTube and counting.
And counting. It's still happening. There's actually like a counter that shows she's gone up.
Sociable. If you go on Sociable, you can see it for yourself.
And she's gone up in followers.
She went up to almost 3 million.
Yeah.
And I think that he's lost 1 million followers on Instagram. So then he put out a video after she put out a video. Mm-hmm. And all it says is...
We can play his audio when we come back from the break. I want to continue to talk about this because I think what I really want to talk about here is how this pertains to the gay panic defense that many people, straight men, have used in court over a gay person and how behavior like this only fuels that fire. But I'll go into details about that when we come back from the break.
That's right. Stick around with the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So we're still talking about this James Charles makeup beauty guru influencer scandal. In case you're wondering what that means, James Charles, who has a big presence on YouTube, had a mentor for a long time, Tati Westbrook, who kind of really helped him get on the scene and helped him become this millionaire beauty influencer that he is. The kid's only 19 years old, but I guess apparently he posted an ad for Sugar Bear, this supplement company, to his Instagram story, but that brand is a huge competitor for his mentor's supplement brand, Halo Beauty. She accused him of being unsupportive. She said she felt betrayed. He later apologized in a statement posted to his Instagram story. Well, Westbrook, his mentor, Tati, broke her silence about the whole situation in a 43-minute video to YouTube explaining the feud and her decision to end things with James Charles. He then posted a video. It was not as long. It was just a couple minutes long. That being said, do we have audio of her? Yeah, I want to hear, just to refresh your memory, this is what Tati had to say about James, and then we'll talk about it and its implications to our community.
Oh my God, you tried to trick a straight man into thinking he's gay yet again, and somehow you're the victim. You know, it's really disgusting to manipulate someone's sexuality, especially when they are still, you know, emerging into adulthood and don't quite have everything figured out. You are using your fame, your power, your money to play with people's emotions. You're threatening to ruin them. You're threatening to embarrass them. And you're doing that to have them behave sexually in your favor, even if they're straight. And you know what? That's not okay.
And he responded with a video. We have a little audio of what he said in his video, which was, by the way, super short.
I'm so disappointed in myself that I ruined our relationship that did mean so much to me, even if I didn't do the best job of showing it all the time. And throughout all of this, what sucks the most is that I know there's nothing I can say or do to ever earn that friendship or trust back. But I don't blame them for it.
So I think what we have to make clear here also is that Tati Westbrook did not just end this long, loving friendship of 3 years and
off
mentorship
of the post, yeah,
off of him posting for Sugar
That's
Bear.
Right, yeah.
She said this has been years of what she felt as disrespect for her and her husband, who also went out of their way to always make sure they helped James Charles. Mm. They always created a plan B for him.
And like you said, he reached out to her. She was already established when he was just a child.
That's right. And she also says, listen, I never asked him for money. Financially was not our relationship. Mm-hmm. I did not care how famous he was. She said he never put her on his Instagram. He never promoted her. That was also not an issue to her. Really what it stemmed down to was she did everything for him. She felt disrespected. And also she doesn't like how he behaves even in his personal life. He's done a lot of things with his power and his fame and his ego. And she's just kind of over and doesn't want to be associated with that. In turn, He has now lost 2 million followers and going. And he's lost a million followers on Instagram. And word on the street, honey, is there is another huge social media influencer that is also going to drop a video. And apparently this could be something that really ruins his career. And it's interesting because I don't know if anybody ever saw the internet becoming this booming business the way that it has. But truly, anybody can become famous now. Anybody can make a lot of money. And unfortunately, I think that even with all of this, he's not really going to lose much of his career either. He'll still be able to make money. Sure, some of the sponsors may pull out, which I think they already have started doing. But when you have 15 million, 10 million, even if you got down to 5 million subscribers, you're still making a lot of money, millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, so it's kind of too. And then let's unpack this a little further. Now, here's why this is a big deal to someone like me who does not follow this specific influencer, a little out of my lane. There's a thing called the gay panic defense. It's when straight men use it in court, in trials and things, when they say, well, I was freaked out because it came on to me. You know, and in many places in the U.S., that's still a viable excuse. And straight men are getting away with hate crimes and things because they allege that someone came on. And by the way, 9 times out of 10, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Right. So they just use it as a defense. But when you have actions like this and there's, you know, a text exchange with him and some other guy, he did use James Charles used his power, his fame. He knew people kind of bent their own will a little bit to his. We all know that happens with money, power, celebrity. And, you know, he put people in the situations where he was behaving in a predatory way, and she put him on blast for that. I think the bigger thing is this kid is 19 years old. He made a huge mistake in judgment, and I hope that he'll learn from this, because although he might be canceled right now for life, he might just lose some endorsements, he's 19. This is a big stumble, and I hope that some older gay will sit him down and talk about the implications of how his behavior impacts the community at large.
That's right. All right, you guys, well, coming up, we have Johnny McGovern from Hey Queen joining us. You don't want to miss it because he's so fabulous, he's so funny, and we will be getting all the tea on drag queens. We'll be back with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com
with Jay and Michaela.
All right, what I didn't tell you about my Friday night story, you ready? So Friday night, I'm in San Francisco. We have been up since the crack of dawn. I go have a little catch-up time with Joe and Ken from the Richmond Urban Aid Foundation. They say to say hello, Michaela.
So great.
And I'm with a friend of mine, and he was, you know, he's letting me stay in his place because they're all moving out. This glorious apartment across the street from the Castro Theater in San Francisco, rent controlled, and they're all going their separate ways. So many memories. They have like stacks of picture frames and tchotchkes they all bought together. They're trying to figure out how to disperse it all. And so it was just sad, but we went to dinner and then went to have some drinks. And then I was just going to Walgreens and, like, you know, picking up some things I forgot. When I get a text message from friends, we are out. Would you like to meet us? I'm like, yes, coming to meet you. Let me go home and drop this off. My key doesn't work. And I'm like, ah. So I text my friend that I'm staying with. He's like, oh, I'm at this bar. So I go meet him. He's like, don't worry about it, we'll go home at the same time. Great. But now he wants to go home early, an hour later. And I was like, listen, I'll meet you in an hour. I'm going to set my alarm for 30 minutes. Make sure you don't fall asleep or something. It's only at this point like 11 at night. So I, you know, go out with my friends. My alarm buzzes 25 minutes after I told him I would text. I text him, nothing. Call him, nothing. Go to the door, buzz, nothing. Panicked, now I'm going to have to sleep at my friend's house. Panicked, furious, tired. Don't want to stay up talking to people.
Tired.
So I fall asleep there. I come back the next morning to the house. My friend's apologetic. He's awake. I empty out my pockets. Keys at the bottom of my pocket.
No.
In my pocket the entire time. Do you know what I said to myself? In like a very soft, self-deprecating way. Why am I like this?
That's right.
And with that, it's time for some news on the beat. Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Doris Day, the actor, singer, and animal welfare activist, has died, according to the Doris Day Animal Foundation. Now, born Doris May Ann Kapeloff in Cincinnati, Ohio, Day was known for a string of successful musicals and romantic comedies, including Pillow Talk, as well as a singing career that encompassed 29 studio albums. Descended from German immigrants to the U.S., Day first gained fame in 1945 as a vocalist for Les Brown and his Band of Renown. and by 1946, she was the highest paid female singer in the world. Now, her film career started with a role in the 1948 musical comedy Romance on the High Seas. Day followed it up with roles in Alfred Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much, and she secured an Oscar nomination for her role alongside Rock Hudson in 1959 romantic comedy Pillow Talk. In 1973, she largely retired and put her efforts into animal welfare activism. She started the Doris Day Animal Foundation, a nonprofit which aims at helping animals across the U.S. Day received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2004, and she was 97 years old. All right, guys, moving on. A group of passengers waiting for their flight over the weekend in Louisville, Kentucky, found out it was canceled for an unbelievable reason. The pilot had been arrested on triple murder charges. Christian Richard Martin, a pilot for a subsidiary of American Airlines, was arrested Saturday at Louisville International Airport. He's accused of killing a Kentucky couple and their neighbor in 2015. One of the victims was expected to testify against Martin. Oh God, in a court case. Honestly, the fact that I even read that out loud was a lot for me. And I fly so frequently that I will be testing everybody when I get on the plane from now on. Moving on, NBC has renewed This Is Us for three more seasons as part of a Play It Safe fall lineup that will add just three new series to the network's primetime roster. The network will air 18 new episodes per season of the time-bending family drama, one of TV's top-rated shows. Now, although NBC called the move unprecedented, the deal mirrors the pact that ABC made for Lost years ago. Although in this case, network's officials aren't definitely stating that the sixth season will be the program's last. According to NBC, This Is Us was this season's most watched entertainment program among adults ages 18 to 49, the key demographic in selling time to advertisers, including 7 days of delayed viewing. On that basis, the show totaled 13.8 million viewers. Wow. All right, guys, moving on. Felicity Huffman is expected to plead guilty Monday to pay $15,000 to a fake charity that facilitated cheating for her daughter's SATs. The Desperate Housewives star could receive up to 20 years in prison. Now, Huffman agreed to plead guilty to conspiracy to commit mail fraud and honest services mail fraud in April. She was among 13 parents who said they would plead guilty in the scam. 17 other parents, including actress Lori Loughlin, submitted not guilty pleas, and a federal judge will have the final say on the outcome for Huffman and the other defendants. In exchange for Huffman's plea, federal prosecutors will recommend incarceration at the low end of the sentencing range, a $20,000 fine, and 12 months of supervised release. Huffman's husband, William H. Macy, is not charged in this case. All right, guys. Well, coming up, we are so excited because we are going to be joined by Johnny McGovern from Hey Queen and Look at Her. And he has a lot to say. We'll have that for you in 6 minutes.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon. And this morning, we are thrilled to have on Johnny McGovern. Now, when I was rocking things out in New York, just come out and hit the scene. If Johnny McGovern's name was on a poster, you knew that was the party you wanted to be at. I frankly, honestly, I'm lucky we didn't have camera phones back then. Because Johnny McGovern's parties would have gotten me into a lot of trouble. So welcome to the Morning Beat, Johnny McGovern.
Hello, Jay and Michaela.
So let me tell you this. Yeah. You, first of all, smell like an angel. You're delicious. But I know that you're a gay pimp, a daddy lover, a twink destroyer.
Name it, he is these things.
But I was gagged when I read where you grew up. Can you talk to us about that experience and where you grew up?
Sure, yeah. I was born in Brooklyn. And then I grew up in Thailand and Egypt.
Could you imagine if it was just Brooklyn? And yeah, I was like, I'm gagged. And you're like, Brooklyn.
From
and I'm like,
Brooklyn. Yeah, my mom worked for Planned Parenthood.
So
she was in charge of Asia and the South Pacific. So when I was 8, we moved to Thailand. She worked there helping, women take control of their bodies in every way and birth control and the rest. Yeah. And then she moved to another job where she did almost the same stuff in Egypt. So I got to grow up overseas. It was great.
That's what, and so progressive. That's really cool to have a mom like that.
Very progressive.
Is she cool? Is that where you got a lot of your inspiration? Did you get to grow up in a very open-minded household?
Yeah, my parents met in the Peace Corps.
Oh my gosh.
And then I think at their wedding, they mentioned something how their gay brothers and sisters couldn't get married.
Wow.
So it was like a really, a very perfect place for me to grow up because as gay as I am.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so interesting to me.
I remember during the time time when I was living in New York, you'd start and put out music, which we all loved, under the sort of add-on name, Gay Pimp.
And that's right.
How did that come to be for you?
You know, I started to do shows. It was when I moved to New York, I was doing a lot of one-man shows and character things, and I started performing at open mic downtown. And I started to, I was coming into my own at that time and sort of feeling my own gay oats. And that sort of feeling of power and feeling good about myself. I had lost a lot of weight. I was looking my best. Smart. I started to feel myself. Yeah. And so I started to do songs in these little midnight musicals where I was playing the character of Gay Pimp, which was a pop star who would, you know, the first show was called The Wrong to F*** With.
Yeah.
And it was a show where Gay Pimp battled Eminem at the MTV Video Music Awards.
So
and it was
good.
Like a silly musical, but it ended up having lines around the block and sort of broke me out in New York. Yeah.
But
and
it
was pretty great.
There was a reason that you went after Eminem, particularly with the way that he was talking in his own music.
Yeah, exactly. Eminem was dropping the word F*** and sort of, you know, being a negative bitch like normal. And and at that time, nobody was doing anything and you couldn't really protest and have anybody pay any attention. So I wrote that musical sort of as my own gay, big gay protest.
Well, one of the songs you have, Soccer Practice, I believe it was the first song you made a music video for.
Yeah.
Feels like you were tackling toxic masculinity very much in that video, which I thought was so interesting. Is that what you were going for? Or what was the inspiration behind the video?
Yeah, that song was all about taking everything that had alienated me from masculinity, sports, you know, toughness, muscles, all the rest, things that I didn't feel I related to, and then flipping it and using it as a version of to call it all gay sex. So it was like soccer practice on the water polo team, do some track and field on the football green, go to the locker room, do some weight training.
Yes.
It'll be real hot if we join the army. Soccer practice.
Also, your voice is amazing.
So yeah, that was before YouTube, honey. So that video, you know, I was there in my tiny apartment in Harlem and like not knowing, because I didn't check my email, that it was blowing up literally around the world. Played on MTV Asia, Europe. I had about 5 years where I was a fake pop star for a while.
Oh,
I would travel with drag queens
and
soccer practice. Yeah.
It's like a harem of boys. It was great.
The original shows were all at tiny gay bars in New York where I would think I was Britney and NSYNC at the MTV Awards.
And so you became.
Were. Yeah. Yeah, we have a little audio of Soccer Practice just for the nostalgic throwback.
That's right.
So yeah.
The water polo team. On track and field, on the football green, go to the locker room, do some weight training, dude, it would be real hot if we join the army. Soccer practice. Sock, 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 soccer practice.
Still good today.
Still good today. Still relevant today.
Yeah, if you wanted to see me at my twinkiest, there it was.
Okay, now listen. Speaking of them, that's when we really knew each other. That's when I barely, if the wind would blow and Jay would fly away. So when we come back, you weren't on SNL, but kinda. And I'm not a lot of
right, kinda is kinda. The biggest version.
You were on a big gay sketch show. The big gay sketch show did really, really well. But you had some iconic moments I want to talk about. And of course, we have to talk about your incredible series, Hey Queen. Because it's taking the world by storm. And like, if you like drag at all, you're a go-to there because you have some of the biggest queens in the world on your show.
Yeah, they're all there.
And of course, we love Lady Red. So stick around with us. We have more with Johnny McGovern coming up.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
And we're back with Johnny McGovern from Hey Queen. Talking about everything. We just covered the Gay Pimp, which is how I met you. I think I mentioned literally at that right at the height of that, I went to see the show. And then lo and behold, anytime I was out in nightlife, it was like Johnny McGovern. And there was always like a couple hot go-go-y type boys, sometimes in like a little running short
of
and
course.
A, you know, tube sock, you know.
Yeah, that was the aesthetic.
I love the aesthetic. I was here for it. So let's talk a little bit about, you weren't on SNL, but you were on the Big Gay Sketch Show with people like Kate McKinnon. What was that experience like for you at that time? It was on Logo, but people really took to that show.
It was great. It was a great chance to be able to, you know, get on television, really, and do as stuff as gay as I wanted to do. I mean, honestly, it wasn't as gay as I wanted it to be.
You're like, we should get this up
yeah.
further.
I mean, I found that the whole experience was actually a little bit frustrating because it was the first experience where you watch on TV and realize, oh, the person who's really in charge of everything is the showrunner.
Right.
And the writers. So, you know, on that show, they gave us a small opportunity to put our own ideas in, but But really, you had about 5 minutes at the beginning of the season to pitch what you had. And the amount of time in which we actually shot the show was about a month. So they wrote it and shot the whole season in about a month. So if you didn't get your ideas in the first few minutes, you know, you could be looking to a whole season of, here's your tease.
But with so many gay celebrities out there now that fall between the LGBTQ plus IA spectrum, do you think it'd be good to have some kind of reboot of the show and kind of feature all kinds of queer talent?
I mean, I always think there's definitely room for a big gay comedy show of some kind.
Yeah, there's nothing like that now.
No.
Well, is that sort of what shaped and helped you create content and essentially get Hey Queen going?
Well, when I finished with that, I left New York. I knew I wanted to work in TV more. And so I came out here and just started hustling. And, you know, it was at a very interesting time in which I had actually made most of my money during that period after Big Gay Sketch Show, touring, still performing my gay pimp songs, doing stand-up, stuff like that. And that was right at the moment when the entire marketplace for gay content at gay bars changed because RuPaul's Drag Race came around.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, there's a whole economy of sort of underground gay performers who used to make quite a good living touring the gay bars. And then when Drag Race came in, it kind of decimated it all for everyone.
Yeah.
That's me. I was definitely one of those people, and I was like, whoop, nope. Lost that to a Drag Race star. Got it. No
right.
worries.
I mean, and it's just the way it is because, you know, there were gay celebrities in quotes and people you knew from the internet, and then suddenly there was this monolith of people who were the biggest stars in the world to a very wide audience going to gay bars. So luckily, around that same time is when I started to do Hey Queen. And that started off as literally the idea for it was like a Charlie Rose style table talk show where I would start with the guests and I'd say, Hey Queen, and they'd say, Hey Queen. And we would have a conversation and that would be it. I thought it would be 6 episodes, just a little something to do to have some fun.
But I did it years ago, and the production values on your show were good even 6 years ago when I did it. I mean, really high production values. Producer, nice sets, great lighting, great. I was very impressed.
You should look at it again because it wasn't that good at that time.
Well, compared to where it is now, yes,
right.
I get it.
Now, sweetie, it is on top. It is looking good. We have an entire huge sound stage that we operate out of now in Culver City.
Well, and you're now finishing season 7. You've had 7 seasons of this. Can I ask you who has been your favorite drag queen you've had on so far?
God, it's pretty hard to say who is the favorite. I mean, obviously, there's the number one favorite of them all. The first guest was RuPaul.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
and you know, that was in a very special time before he ascended.
That's right.
To a land in which one cannot be touched.
The unreachables.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I mean, at that time, literally for the first episode, I sent him an email saying, hey, I'm talking to some of my favorite people on this little show that I'm doing. Do you want to do it? And he wrote back, yep.
Wow.
That's so amazing.
That must have been so intimidating, too. The very first time you're ever shooting this baby of yours, you're doing it with RuPaul.
It was pretty funny. I mean, that day, and you know, RuPaul is a little famous for sometimes being stern.
Mm-hmm.
And when my producer was downstairs, he got RuPaul from out in front of the building, and he texted me, he looks stern. But he came up, and luckily we had also just taped something with Miles Davis Moody. You remember him?
Yeah,
he was
Miles.
One of the pit crew.
Yeah.
And he loves Miles.
He does.
So when he saw Miles there, he started laughing and smiling. And then when we did the opening bit, you know, the beginning of the show, Lady Red says, hello, children. Are you ready for some cutting up and kiki? And are you ready for a gay old time? Well, that was the first day she'd ever said those lines. So she started the show and she was like, hello, children. Hello. And I said, don't be nervous because RuPaul is here. And from the audience, RuPaul said, do be nervous because RuPaul is here.
Oh, my God.
And then we started doing our opening bit where I was talking about hiking at Runyon or some silly thing like that. And RuPaul was laughing and loving it. So by the time he came on, sweetie, the sunshine was shining.
Right.
And, you know, if you can get the sunshine from RuPaul, you got to take it. You got to accept it. You got to know that was your moment with her. And don't try to get it again and again and again.
How did you and Lady Red come together? Because your partnership is so great.
Lady Red, I discovered in quotes, at Hamburger Mary's. I went to go see a drag show there, and she did a number where she does a big gospel number in a big gospel robe. And, of course, I love a black drag queen doing a gospel number.
Sure.
But she did a thing where she ran off the stage. The music is still going, and then she comes out from another direction and surprises the audience. And I just was throwing money, loving it. And, you know, one of my hobbies, side projects, passions has always been, and I did it in New York with a lot of the New York girls, is writing and producing songs for drag queens. Sure. And that was way before every single drag queen had a song.
Right.
So Lady Red and I got together and I wrote her a song called Rich White Woman, which was meant to be very subversive, where she sings a song that's like, I'm a white woman, a rich white woman, my husband buys me everything. And so...
Understand, like Lady Red is like the largest living drag queen in captivity.
Yeah. That's
like,
her nickname.
And honestly, that's just so stupid to me. I love it.
And
it's so
a song that's meant to throw it in the audience's face. And you know, she did it, and she can sing. She can sing from the highest highs to the lowest lows.
Yeah.
So we got together on that, and then when I had the concept for Hey Queen, and I was supposed to be just this table chat, I suddenly thought, what if Lady Red was there? And then we could chat at the beginning, and then she would sort of sit like Ed McMahon style on the side. Mm-hmm. And then not only would it make it racially inclusive and gender inclusive, but people would be scared of Lady Red because she's kind of intimidating.
Right. Yeah.
So I could be nice and she could be mean.
Yes!
And that's exactly how it goes.
Well, so where can we can get Hey Queen on Netflix.
That's right.
Hey Queen, yeah, two seasons from us are streaming on Netflix, because we do Hey Queen, and then immediately after we tape that, we also do our after show, which is really a whole other show called Look at Her.
Oh, we know that show.
That was just a game in the show, which became its own thing. So those two seasons are on Netflix. We air internationally on something called OutTV, which is the cable channel for South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. So that is actually on broadcast TV there, and it's the way I would love it to be worldwide, where it goes Drag Race, Untucked, Hey Queen, Look at Her.
Huge. Yeah. And you've got like 156 million views. Like, it's not a small amount.
Also, it's pretty big.
This is not a World of Wonder production. This was something that came out of you, because I feel like they've kind of cornered the market on all things queer. Sometimes you're like, oh, geez, it's not a World of Wonder thing. But you've really made your own way. And so now the show is like, it's larger than life. I remember catching you guys a couple years at DragCon, and there was a line to greet you. It was just really sweet. It's a great testament to like hard work in this community. You can really pave your own way.
It's really definitely perseverance, because the show started with like a card table covered in a sequin cloth, a futon with something we bought downtown that had sparkles in it, and that was it. And now, you know, we have our own studio, and we're about to premiere Hey Queen Pride in June.
Yes.
Which is last summer we did something called Hey Queen Beach House. You know, I like to switch it up. So we did beach. Every season we'll redecorate the set, repaint the desk, have a new backdrop. So last year we did it as Beach House, so everything was beach themed. This summer we're starting something new called Hey Queen Pride. The set is fully rainbow. The desk is rainbow. The bricks are rainbow. There's a rainbow in the sky.
Okay, listen, when that airs, you guys have to tell us. We'll put it in our news and make sure our listeners know exactly. Yeah. We can link you guys over there.
It's going to be great. Johnny McGovern, that's on YouTube.
So good. Never enough time with you guys. And if you want to follow Johnny McGovern on social media, let me tell you something. You have one of the best handles out there. Johnny McGovern is your daddy.
Well, yeah. You've got to tell the truth, baby.
That's where you can give him a follow. Of course, we'll put the links on our social media. Johnny, I love you. I'll talk to you soon. Michaela, I guess this is now we need to be like looking at each other saying, look at her.
Look at her.
Exactly.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
So this weekend you performed live at Rose Rabbit Lie in Las Vegas. How'd it go?
It was amazing. It's always great. You know, I'm a singer first. That's where I always wanted to be when I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so fortunate. I got a beautiful new boa, so I was shimmying around.
Where does one get a boa these days? I don't know where you buy a nice one.
I have a maid in Vegas.
Oh, that's Vegas. Vegas would, of course, have
boas. Yeah, they're the best. And they use the best feathers, so it was fabulous.
Fun. And I know that for a lot of us who perform live, things don't always go every single time according to plan.
Oh, let me tell you something. If I can choose a band over a track, I will any day of the week. I've even gone tooth and nail to make sure I have a live band, because you're in so much more control than you are with a track.
Worst situation that ever happened to you on stage?
My mic never turned on.
That's a popular one.
I did a full performance with no mic.
How about I get to... I get to my number in Rent today for you. Forgot to put my microphone on.
Oh, God.
And it's the Janet Jackson headphone, you know, headset mic.
So you're in charge of it.
It's under my, I'd taken it off, rested it on my shoulders, around my neck, like it's a little necklace, then put my costume over it, zipped it, buttoned it. I've now got three layers of things covering where the mic is.
And I'm like, today for you, but literally goes, like you cannot hear it.
Oh, it's the worst.
And I know exactly, and I touch it, I know exactly where it is. I can't do anything.
There's nothing you can do at that point.
I had to grab my hand. We know where our handhelds are in case a mic blows. So embarrassing. It's the worst. But you just figure it out. But Naomi Smalls from Drag Race fame, she had her music stopped, by the way, in the biggest drag show in history. That was happening over in the UK. There were... it was the largest drag performance in history. And Naomi Smalls apparently just came out looking like just a professional performer that everyone knows her to be. The Work the World Tour, which is, of course, hosted by Michelle Visage, it was happening in London at the Wembley Arena, which is, I think, that 12,500 seats. Can you imagine?
It's unreal. It's 12, people like Prince, the Spice Girls. They've all played this arena. It's huge.
Right. So, you know, the Rue Girls were center stage for their show, but I guess her backup dancers wearing, you know, Smalls look from All Stars 4, inspired by John Galliano's designs for Christian Dior, the lipstick assassin. She became her number to now's curiosity. But during the performance, just as she raised her hand in the air, the music cut out completely. So she froze. She didn't move. She and her dancer became immobile statues for almost 2 minutes.
Standing you guys don't understand.
2 minutes.
The position that she was in was her hand completely raised over her head. Now, you do that for 30 seconds. Your arm is tired. Dead. You're like, I'm not doing this. The music cut out. If you see this video, which I think we're going to put on...
We Are Channel Q.
Or we'll put it on our social media at the very least so you can see it for yourself. The music cuts out. You would never know. She did not know the music was going to cut out. She stood there for 2 minutes, and when the music came back on, she went right back into it as if nothing happens. It's the most professional thing I've ever seen. It's so good.
When something technically goes wrong for you, what goes through your mind?
You know, I think at this point, I'm so prepared and so used to anything happening. I mean, between... people coming up, between mics not working, between lights going out, between wardrobe malfunctions.
What's your biggest constant thing that goes wrong when you perform live?
Most of the time, it's nothing bad. It's just not always being able to hear myself, which is the most offensive thing. Because you're like, I don't know what I sound like to you. I will say one time, I was standing in Vegas. I do this piece where I sing Lovey and Rose. And I sit on top of this, what would be like a chandelier. And I have to use the stairs to get up. And I use the stairs to get down. But somebody helps me, our production manager. And so one time, I got finished singing it. And I wear gowns and boa. Oh, there's two stories. I go to walk down and he doesn't catch my hand right. And I fell completely off of the thing. As I'm going into the next song, my dress is over my head. Everyone is seeing everything. And I stood up and I was like, I mean, I just literally went right into it and they loved it. And the other thing is I had a boa one time and there was a candle and my boa caught the candle and my boa went completely in flames. I mean, there's just anything can happen when you're a performer, entertainer. Anything can happen. You have to be prepared for it.
That's right.
I said this performance is red hot, honey, red hot.
Well, you know, I gotta give it up for Naomi Smalls, who I guess did not want to ruin the moment. But I gotta tell you, those technical problems are just the worst.
The worst.
I mean, can you imagine being someone like Ashley Simpson, budding music career? You go on SNL, not feeling great. They're like, all right, fine, she's just gonna lip sync, whatever. And
what happened again? Did her music fall out? And that's how people
happened,
knew she lip synced?
Yeah, the track skipped and then it just kept skipping and skipping like it was one of those CD days, you know?
Oh, God, it's mortifying. Well, sometimes, and in this case, it makes you actually look like an even better performer when those technical difficulties happen. And she showed up and showed out. All right, you guys. Well, coming up, I'm very excited. You know, we love to do In the Spotlight on Mondays where we feature musicians that are doing a lot and are killing it.
And most of us don't really necessarily have heard of their music because maybe it's not getting so much radio play, but you would totally download it. So yeah, it's In the Spotlight. I feel like we should force you to do In the Spotlight. Every 6 months, just force you to come out with a new single. And we're like, pretend we don't know you. We're like, Michaela Gordon,
who are
you?
Oh my God,
what
if we did do that? What if we pretended like we didn't know
me? You're good under pressure.
And you had to interview me.
I would love it.
I have a new night coming up I'd like to share with you also.
Also, I'd like to talk about your performance name. I think you should switch it. Mika.
Oh.
That's your pop star name.
I love that. That is my pop
star
name.
That is so your pop star name.
We love
Mika merch. Yeah, Mika. She's making that Mika money.
Oh.
She's making Mika moves.
Oh.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Are you the younger sister or the older sister?
No, I'm the oldest.
You are the oldest.
Yeah, I'm like my brother's mom.
Did you ever torment him when you were younger?
No, people always ask that. No, I made him... If tormenting means make him be my baby and love him and take care of him, he was the most spoiled little kid. I adored him. He's still my baby. I love him. I think it's different for us, though, because we didn't have a relationship with our mom, so I felt very obligated to be his mom.
I thought in my mind all these years that he was your older brother because he was married with kids. In my mind, I don't know why, in my mind.
Oh, no, that's my baby. Wow. He's young. He's only 27.
Baby.
Yeah, he's a baby. He'll be 28 in October, you little idiot. If you're listening, I love you.
Oh my
God, I love that boy. I really do love my brother. I can't stand him.
I love that. Well, we've got our guest Rylan coming up in a little bit for In the Spotlight. And the reason I'm saying that because I feel like we're the younger brother here at We Are Channel Q, and we've always shared this floor with other radio stations that always steal our chairs. We don't even have a chair for our guest. Thank you, whoever's doing that. Thank you. We appreciate it. We love you here as the new kids on the block.
But we tell you to have several seats, but we can't.
We can't. There's no seats for you to have. So whatever. We're new. We'll pay our dues in time. All right. So what else do we have coming out tonight is the RuPaul's Drag Race finale. That's when they're shooting it.
Yeah.
Who knows when it'll air? Maybe they'll sneak in. You know how they do a little reunion sometimes first?
Yeah.
Or they'll do like a reflection, or like they'll do like, this week is just to catch you up, like a highlight clip. Who knows when the finale will air?
I don't know, but I've never been to a Drag Race finale, and I have watched since season one, so it is a big night for me.
So I love going to see live tapings when it's live, but when they're live to tape, it literally means they can take... as long as they want.
And I heard they do. I heard this is a long finale.
A protein bar.
Oh, I have snacks on hand.
Smart girl.
Do they serve a wine or anything in there?
I don't think
so. Or
no? In that crowd, I don't think they want it.
Oh, they could never.
Right.
People would be a mess.
Yeah.
In the fourth hour, people with vodka in their systems. Yeah, right. Queens, no.
Well, it's time for some news on the beat. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Well, Doris Day, the actor, singer, and animal welfare activist, has died, according to the Doris Day Animal Foundation. Now, born Doris Mary Ann Kappelhoff in Cincinnati, Ohio, Day was known for a string of successful musicals and romantic comedies, including Pillow Talk, as well as a singing career that encompassed 29 studio albums. Descended from German immigrants to the U.S., Day first gained fame in 1945 as a vocalist for Les Brown and his band of renown, and by 1946, she was the highest paid female singer in the world. Now, her film career started with a role in the 1948 musical comedy romance On the High Seas. Day followed it up with roles in Alfred Hitchcock's The Man Who Knew Too Much, and she secured an Oscar nomination for her role alongside Rock Hudson in 1959, romantic comedy Pillow Talk. Now, in 1973, she largely retired and put her efforts into animal welfare activism. She started the Doris Day Animal Foundation, a nonprofit which aimed at helping animals across the U.S. Day received the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2004, and she was 97 years old. All right, guys, moving on. Academy Award-winning actress Marcia Gay Harden recorded a Mother's Day message for the Human Rights Campaign urging the passage of a sweeping LGBTQ rights bill. In the clip, Harden, who won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Pollock, urges the message of the Equality Act.
Over half of LGBTQ people live in states where they are not protected. That makes me think about my son, who is part of the LGBT community. And I would never in a second say that he should not have the same rights that his twin sister does, who is not gay. So to me, that's abominable. And as an American, I don't expect that from my country. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act now.
Now, Harden goes on to call the lack of equal protection abominable and urges viewers to support the legislation, saying it would make me feel like my son would be represented. The Equality Act passed the House Judiciary Committee earlier this month in a 22-10 party line vote. The bill would ban discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity in several areas, including public accommodations and facilities, education, federal funding, employment, housing, credit, and the jury system. HRC has been one of the primary lobbyists for the measure, along with the Business Coalition for the Equality Act, a group of about 200 companies. All right, guys. Well, we want to remind you, speaking of the Equality Act and Pride and things that are very important to us, we've got the biggest Pride party in the world coming to you. It's New York City Pride. And thanks to Channel Q and Schafferhofer Pomegranate Grapefruit, they want to send you and a friend to the biggest party in the world. They'll take care of your airfare, your hotel room stay. All you have to do is head on over to WeAreChannelQ.com because Schafferhofer wants you to unleash your pride at the biggest party. All right, when coming up, we have In the Spotlight Mondays, and we will be talking to musician Rylan, and you'll be able to hear his music and talk about where you can see him. He's got a big performance this week, and we'll be talking about it. That'll be coming up.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Welcome back to the new Channel Q. I'm Jay Rodriguez and Michaela Gordon, and it is time for In the Spotlight. This is our segment where we showcase different artists within the community who we think you need to know about. Now, I met this young man at a bar out and about. Just like thought he was like some really well-dressed guy. And I was like, look at him over there.
Very well-dressed.
The style was insane. Then, of course, you got to do the thing the kids do. You got to swap the social medias, only to find out that he's actually a recording artist. So please welcome to the Morning Beat, Rylan.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Rylan, your style is so fierce. For people that are listening that maybe don't know what your style is, kind of can you tell us what your inspiration is about?
Yeah, sure. I love the 80s. I wasn't around for the 80s, but I really want to bring it back.
Me neither.
Yeah, I know, right? And no, the other day someone was like, how can I recognize you if I see you out? Because I had to meet a new publicist. And I was like, I basically look like George Michael just went to a leather bar.
Yes!
So that's kind of where I live. I live in the 80s and the future and the past. So.
And some people might recognize you from being a warbler on Glee, which I was for Halloween one year and made the jacket and everything.
Oh, wow.
So talk to us what that experience was like working on the Glee set. Brian Murphy gave me my first scripted job here in LA on Nip Tuck, but what was that experience
like? Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. No, it was great, actually. It was the last season. I was in 10 episodes of it. Darren Criss was like the nicest person in the world.
We love to hear that.
So it's so cool to see him like explode.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was actually my fifth time auditioning for the show that year. And I was like, this will never happen. And I showed up with my curly hair and basically, you know, leather bar attire, as I usually do. And somehow I booked it that way. So
Were you going into the audition the previous times as somebody that wasn't exactly your persona? And then the last time you're like, I'm going in just as me. I don't even care.
Exactly. Like I was, they were all for named roles before. And so, you know, I have to go in and sing and dance and read the script and I think I was psyching myself out the whole time, and then finally I was like, I don't care, so let me just try. I mean, there's no way that five will be the number, but it was.
Why does it always work like that? When you quit caring, the universe is like, here you go, honey.
It's crazy.
And you've built quite the team for yourself because now you are performing. You have your single, Love or Drugs, which is amazing. But before we talk about that single, you are signed with Randy Jackson. That's your manager.
Yes.
And you are working with Lady Gaga's choreographer.
Yes, Richie.
How did that happen?
Well, actually, an old manager at the time, maybe like 3 years ago, hooked me up with Richie because I used to only do my own choreography. Because I actually moved here as a dancer years ago. And then I was super nervous because I was like, oh my God, this is the guy that I watched on YouTube all the time. I'd like pull it up on my laptop and turn the laptop into the mirror so I could learn the choreography the right direction.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. And so to meet him and to have him be one of the nicest, most humble, real people that I've met out here is super cool. So Richie is like my go-to. He's my other brain, if
nice.
You will.
And the new single is called Love and Drugs. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration of this new song.
Yeah, well, it's basically about why we go out. It's either to get effed or to get effed up. So
got it.
Basically, it's kind of making fun of that because I'm totally antisocial. Like, you saw me on a very rare night.
I know. I haven't seen him out since. It's like a rare sighting.
You saw me, with one of my friends who, like, drags me out the house. But, it's basically about going out and why we do it and kind of a little satirical punch at LA and all the cool kids that I've never been a part of.
Well, it's amazing. I love that you say that too because you look so cool. So it's interesting that you think you're not.
Because
I'm like, you're so cool.
Oh, you're too kind.
Let's have a listen to Love or Drugs.
I know the dose of blood. I know what gets me high. Yeah. I just want your love. Come on, come on, yeah.
That's Ryland Love or Drugs. You're going to be performing that this Wednesday at the Abbey. Are you nervous? Are you excited? What are the vibes?
I'm excited. I think it'll be super fun. I mean, like, you know, I used to go there all the time with my friends, and now it's kind of become such a different spot in the past 5 years.
So
you know?
Packed now.
It's crazy. You can't even walk.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. And there's a little cover out there for the 2000s pop people that like that. So, you know, I'll give them a little show.
And it's interesting that you said you used to go to the Abbey with your friends, and now you're performing there, which is probably going to happen to you a lot around the United States. Is it a surreal feeling for you, especially performing your own music?
It is weird, you know, because I would just literally go there in sweatpants, like, and a jean jacket and look disheveled like I usually
do. Like George Michael from the gym.
Exact, George Michael from the gym. There you go. And we just like sit there and, you know, talk and have a good time. And so to actually see myself on the stage is going to be a wholly new perspective.
And not only that, you're heading off to New York City to perform at Club Cumming, which is Alan Cumming's bar called Club Cumming. Everyone has performed there from, I mean, he's the most eclectic folks.
For real.
One week it'll be an adult film star, and then it'll be Vanessa Williams.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, like, this honestly, the lineup never ends. Alan Cumming has that kind of reach. Do you know if he's going to be there?
I really hope so. I know is that I have a show right before that, and then I go to Club Cumming, and I'm just staying until it closes, just in case.
I will text him. I have his number.
I'll text him.
My friend Ryland. All right, so what's next for you? So now you're going to have these performances. Are we going to get more music? Are we just going to get more singles?
Yeah, I write constantly, pretty much. Mm-hmm. So that's what I do when I'm home alone, which is my usual time.
And what does that look like? Do you have any rituals or anything you like to do before you write to get you in the mood?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I'm a theater kid, so I grew up on the piano. And that's basically my bread and butter, if you will. So I really like to start there and then kind of bring the track to someone to flesh it out and work with them, because that's where I like to collaborate, is on the musical production side. But my lyrics are kind of my heart, so...
I love that. And Lover Drugs is so great. And I do love that you sort of make fun of the LA facade, because people, as you have described, and I love this, so I just want to make sure that we say that, you say they all want to like impress people when really they're just broken and looking for whatever's going to fill that void.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's such a vulnerable statement, but you do it in such a fun way with Lover Drugs.
Thanks.
And I think it's great.
By the way, guys, you can follow Ryland on all social media. I am Ryland?
Yes,
all social media. It's I am Ryland. We're going to put the music on our website as well. Lover Drugs is available at pretty much everywhere you can get great music.
Yeah, right? Buy it, stream it, listen to it, love it, eat it, barf it, whatever you want.
We love barfing music.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. It's been In the Spotlight featuring Ryland. Again, we're going to throw this on our social media and the website as well. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you guys so much.
West Hollywood crew. He'll be at the Abbey Wednesday, May 15th.
Two days.
To our New York City fam, make sure you check him out at Club Cummings on Friday, May 17th. Ryland, we look forward to having you in again. Come whenever you want. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you guys so much.
We'll be right back with a new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, Game of Thrones aired its second to last episode last night. I'm sure every water cooler around the world is full of people who are back at work with opinions.
I'm going to say I have a lot of opinions.
Go on.
I'm going to say this, and a lot of people agreed with me. I went on the blogs. I was really disappointed. I thought it was going to be so much better. I actually left very confused. I feel like we didn't have a lot of answers. If you guys did not see it last night, I'm going to recommend that you turn it down, because we are going to be talking about it in depth. But let's start with, who do we want to start with? Khaleesi. So Khaleesi is obviously very upset with Sandry and the way that Cersei killed her. And so she is already really upset. And then she finds out that Jon Snow has, in fact, betrayed her.
By
telling his sister Sansa, who then told their brother Tyrion that, not her brother, but her hand. No, Tyrion.
I'm already
Tyrion's
lost.
Not her husband.
Okay, wait.
That's not Sansa's husband.
Okay, that seems very confusing. Okay, so she's the.
Wait, how are you confused? Did you watch it?
Did you hear what you guys just said? It was very confusing. So the blonde lady is upset at Jon Snow. Go for why.
The reason why she's upset. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
So the reason why she's upset is because she just. Jon Snow told the family secret.
There we go.
He's a Targaryen.
Okay, so that's the big thing. Now she's fueled. She's angry.
Right, so
Blondie.
She goes ahead and kills, how would you describe Valyrian What's his name? Valerius?
Essentially the one who knew it all. The secret giver.
Yeah, the secret giver. And he was about to expose the truth and to the entire town of Westboro.
This is the bald eunuch.
Yes.
For those of you like me who just have to go by that.
So she kills him and she lights him on fire. And that was intense.
Via the
dragon.
Right behind her. That was insane when you listen, you see the presence of it. That was beautifully shot.
Could you imagine? It was beautifully shot. So now she says to Tyrion, if you fail me again, boy, it's a wrap. Like, you're done. Your life is over. Also, and then as he's walking out, she goes, oh, also, Jaime tried to get away to go get Cersei, but we caught him. So just keep that in mind and don't do anything, because I said, if you fail me, it's over. So we're like, oh no, okay, Tyrion, you have a chance. Like, don't do this. Don't get in trouble. We're now moving on into the thing. Tyrion goes down, sees Jaime, and says, Jaime, go get Cersei, ring the bells, say it's all good, and take her to another town and just get out. So he has failed Khaleesi again.
But this is giving his sister a head start if she were to so choose it.
Exactly.
To get out of harm's way. And did you think she would take it?
No, I would never see Cersei backing down until the end. Now Khaleesi is on a vengeance. She gets on her dragon. How do you say? She burns all of King's Landing down.
Well, she first destroys all the defenses.
Make its way to the queen. The redhead Peter Pan, as I call her. What's her name, Sansa?
Cersei.
She finds out that her defenses are gone.
Yeah, and now she's panicking.
Now there's millions of lives in hand of the regular people who live in the town.
And their armies are throwing down their swords.
And the armies have given up. They've surrendered.
They have. So we think we're in a good place. Jon Snow's like, this is really good. We're not killing innocent people.
There we go.
Khaleesi realizes it's not enough. She goes again and starts burning down the whole town. Now Jon Snow is like, no, you guys don't fight. Like, they did surrender. Don't let this happen. He's upset now, and he's watching Khaleesi turn into the Mad King, which is what everybody did not. But her father was the Mad King, and he killed a bunch of innocent people.
Okay, because online,
take the throne.
They keep calling her the Mad Queen.
But that's what she's turned into. So you see that happen. Then you see Arya and the Hound. They're coming into King's Landing because they're on their way to kill Cersei. And as they enter finally into the castle, the Hound goes, listen, everything is falling apart. You're going to die if you stay in this castle. Revenge is everything I ever wanted. And look at me. Just get out now while you can.
And this is what he says to
Arya.
Got it.
Arya leaves the castle.
So she's like, bye.
Because the Hound is going to get the Mountain, his brother who ruined his life and was awful.
And the Mountain is the protector of
Cersei.
There we go.
So Cersei and the Mountain come down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Now, this was so disappointing to me. Cersei and the Mountain come down the stairs. Hound sees them, starts heading up. They all three see each other.
They stop. There's that moment.
They stop. And Cersei goes, Mountain, I'm telling you, do not fight him. Stand here and protect me. The Mountain's like, nope, not going to happen. So Cersei's like, I'm out of here. Cersei walks past the Hound.
Yeah.
The Hound literally could have killed her and ended it all and just been great. He lets her walk free.
Yeah.
Just so he can get the Mountain. So that was a really
sibling rivalry at its finest.
Long story short, they end up both dying.
However, though, I was shocked when we found out what was under there. Did you know that? Was that already established?
No, I didn't know what he looked like.
So the Mountain, when he revealed himself, when he took off his armor, which he'd been heavily cloaked in, he looked like a nightwalker or something. Like, he was all kind of deadish.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Do you have a name for what that is, Justin, or just someone who hasn't seen the sun in a while?
Well, Qyburn, the Hand of Cersei, he brought him back to life. He's a necromancer, so he was a zombie-ish type of guy.
Not
quite a White Walker,
right?
But
he seemed hard to kill. Frankly,
well, I mean, you throw him a dagger through his head. Who else is going to die?
That's right.
All right, coming up, we're going to have more of this because the last part of GOT had me gagged. Coming up, we are the new channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
I really like Game of Thrones, but more for I find it entertaining. I think I'm this season more than ever understanding the relationships better because everyone's together.
Right. Oh, it's been so nice. That's the one thing I've loved about this season is that you're seeing everybody together for the first time sort of since season one.
Yeah.
Okay, so quickly to do a recap before we went to break. Now the big question is Cersei and Jaime. Did they die? And was it Tyrion who set them up if in fact they did, knowing that maybe it was a trap or if King's Landing, the castle had just crumbled and it was like by mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you for a fact, Jamie and Cersei are not dead. Justin, our producer, you think they are.
Of course they're dead.
They're absolutely not. And here's why. If you were a real fan, you would know. Prophecy says that Cersei will die by the man, by the hands of a man. And so what that means is prophecy has always led to show, even if it's a mercy killing by Jaime, even if he strangles her, they are not dead. Also, they could not confirm with a corpse, which they always do. This is not the last we've seen of Jaime and Cersei. It's not happening. Then what we did see was a burnt body as Arya's running out of King's Landing. She has survived, but she sees a burnt body with a sword that looks to be Jon Snow's sword. So now people are like, is that how Jon Snow went? Obviously, we know it's not. He did not burn to death. That would never happen. Right. There just happens to be a horse there, though. It wasn't his horse because he didn't come on in a horse. And she rides off back to Westboro. Do you think Jon Snow is dead?
Of course not.
Of course not. I totally agree. Not. No.
But Jaime Lannister and Cersei are dead.
I'm going to make a $20 bet with you right now that they are not dead.
$20.
So this is the finale episode to clarify whether they are or not, right? Next week.
Yeah. Next week we will find out if Jaime and Cersei are in fact dead. I'm shaking your hand
so
right now.
What do they stand to lose?
Shake on it right now. You don't back your decision. You don't back your decision
because
he doesn't back his decision.
Yeah. Oh.
Yes.
$20.
I'm going to win this bet. Yes. Thank you. Okay.
So if all goes according to plan, how many people would be still in the running for the throne?
Well, Arya could get the throne. Jon Snow could get the throne. Khaleesi could get the throne. Sansa could actually get the throne. Could Tyrion? No, that would never happen.
Of course he could.
I guess he could, yeah.
Drogon could get
the throne.
So
technically about 5 people are still in the running-ish?
Yeah, there's about 6 people that could get the throne.
Mm-hmm.
However, I think Jon Snow is going to take the throne because he's so mad at Khaleesi. She really disappointed him, and you could tell. He was trying to make the armies back down, and mm-hmm. she lost her mind killing so many innocent people that he's going to be really mad at her now.
Hashtag not my queen.
Hashtag Oof. Not my queen either. She was really disappointing. However, I want to know what happens with the babies. I think we're going to find out that Dany's also pregnant with Jon Snow's baby. And I think that something's going to happen with Jaime and Cersei's baby. I'm just not sure what it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
but they might make it through. Anyway, that is your Game of Thrones recap. It was intense, but not in the intense way that we wanted it to be. It felt sort of even more confusing than anything.
Oh my God, people are listening right now and they disagree with you. They say that they are dead.
But I will make a bet with everybody.
How do you, in your mind, when the building collapsed on them, or seeming like it was going to, you feel like is it magical, or you just feel like that perhaps it collapsed but didn't hit them?
No, I feel like the building was collapsing the entire episode, which mm-hmm. is what we saw. But we never, in fact, saw the building collapse on them.
It was
what
just
it
like
looked
slowly.
Like, it looked like a bunch of dirt went over the camera and then it went to the next scene. There was no confirmation that Jaime and Cersei were killed. And even though their exit strategy was blocked off, they could have gone back how they came and found a way to get out.
Jaime Lannister was running through twice by a dagger
and had
a building fall on him
and still lived and was still alive to go get his Cersei. Don't tell me this man is dead. That's not how it's happening.
He is not the mountain. The mountain is in the mountain.
I don't know. I kind of thought that the whole point was that they died, but maybe it's not. Maybe they're still
you guys
alive.
Jaime and Cersei aren't dead, period. The end. I'm right. Got it? That's it. And
you
I'll make
say
a bet
it like
with
that
everybody
now
listening.
I think they are dead.
They're not dead. Listen, we'll go. We have until next Sunday, and then you guys are going to be amazed. All right, coming up, we are going to be joined with Hey Queen and Look at Haas, Johnny McGovern. We have a lot to talk about with him. I particularly find him so interesting because he's been in the scene for so long, and he's made these shows that started as like web shows into real life Netflix series, and it's so exciting. So we'll be talking to him coming up. We are the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.
The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela.
Well, let me tell you something. Mondays are one of those days where everything can either be super sleepy or super jazzy. I popped out of bed this morning. Popped right out.
You did?
I was like, boop, I'm ready to start the day.
I love that you are like that. Honey, I was still dragging in bed from my drag brunch yesterday. I had so much fun. And I have to tell you, I have a great surprise. We're not announcing it yet, but I have something really fun coming in July that will be a summer special. And you'll have the chance to experience that. And so yesterday was a little hint of what that's going to be.
Cute.
Yes. Love thank you. Work.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, it's our final hour with you guys here today on The Morning Beat. Coming up, we've got Johnny McGovern. Many of you remember he was on the Dumb Gay Sketch Show, the Big Gay Sketch Show. I keep saying Dumb Gay Sketch Show because Dumb Gay Politics,
right.
Julie was on that show with
and
him.
And they're friends.
And they're good friends, so that's why I always think about that. But he'll be on with us a little later on this hour. Gosh, talk about, he and I were in the same lane. We were getting booked at nightclubs and playing the nightlife circuit, and then Drag Race came up and took over all of nightlife, and now it's only drag queens.
It's wild. It's just so crazy.
And underwear models. That's it. That's the only people we see in nightlife. All right, so what else do you have on today? So what's your plan? Are you going to go to the gym? I think they're asking people to be at this Drag Race finale taping tonight at like 4, or like the carpet's at 4, but show's at 7.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the gym, and I'm going to prep for the evening. I'm very excited. I'm going to get mine and Lisa's outfits together. We are unprepared, but we will be prepared by this evening.
We're going as Sonny and Cher.
Lisa will be Cher. It'll be an exciting time for her to be in full drag.
Think about how comfortable you'll be finally.
Oh my God. Just
you're the one in flats.
That would be a dream
for me. Put her in stilts. With a black.
Are you kidding me? She's so much taller than me. She doesn't even need the stilts.
Even better.
Put her in a little heel. Kitten heel.
Oh my God.
She is tall, that little beauty of mine.
All right, well, give us some news on the beat then. I think I need to be informed about what we missed this weekend while we were all busy partying. So, Michaela, what are people talking about?
All right, guys. Academy Award-winning actress Marcia Gay Harden recorded a Mother's Day message for the Human Rights Campaign urging the passage of a sweeping LGBTQ rights bill. In the clip, Harden, who won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress for her role in Pollock, urges the passage of the Equality Act.
Over half of LGBTQ people live in states where they are not protected. That makes me think about my son, who is part of the LGBT community. And I would never in a second say that he should not have the same rights that his twin sister does, who is not gay. So to me, that's abominable. And as an American, I don't expect that from my country. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act now.
All right, guys, Harden goes on to call the lack of equal protection abominable and urges viewers to support the legislation, saying it would make me feel like my son would be represented. Now, the Equality Act passed the House Judiciary Committee earlier this month in a 22-10 party line vote. The bill would ban discrimination based on sex, sexual orientation, and gender identity in several areas, including public accommodations and facilities, education, federal funding, employment, housing, credit, and the jury system. HRC has been one of the primary lobbyists for the measure, along with the Business Coalition for the Equality Act, a group of about 200 companies. All right, guys, this story is super interesting. Now, is there such a thing as too fat to fly? Well, according to Stacey Lane Matthews, it may just be a thing. Matthews, the season 3 alumni of Drag Race and Country Queen, came out against American Airlines in a series of posts to her Instagram after a confrontation between Matthews and a flight attendant en route to an appearance in Sacramento.
I've never felt like I was fat shamed on the airline like I have today by American Airlines. And I promise you, I assure you, I will never fly American Airlines again. I was basically told I was too fat to fly on the aircraft. And I was basically fat shamed and turned away and sent to the information desk to figure out what I could do on my own.
Now, many expressed outrage to the videos, including fellow Drag Race alumni Jiggly Caliente, who commented, OMFG, how is this even legal? American Airlines has not commented on the situation. All right, guys, in other news, it is official. Givenchy confirmed that Ariana Grande is the new face of its 2019 fall and winter campaign that will be unveiled in July. A modern muse and the voice of a generation, Ariana has emerged as one of the most influential forces in pop culture today, Givenchy said in a new release Friday. The French luxury fashion house teased the announcement by posting a series of black and white silhouettes of a woman flipping her ponytail in slow motion. The posts weren't exactly cryptic, so the internet had a little fun with it. That's definitely not Ariana Grande. Grande, one person commented on Instagram. Is it LeBron James? It's John Cena. Grande is in the midst of her Sweetener World Tour and last month became the youngest singer to headline Coachella. All right, guys. Well, coming up, we are so excited because we have Johnny McGovern joining us. You know him from Hey Queen TV and Look At Her. So stick around. We will have you guys in 6 minutes.
I'm getting super panicked about my birthday. It's June 22nd. I'm like, how big do I want to go? How much money do I want to invest? It's my birthday. It's not like someone else's, but it's 40, so it should be something.
That's right.
You start thinking about the little add-ons. Is there cake? Am I hiring professional people? It starts to add up, and it makes you just want to be like, forget it. I'll just, you know, throw a backyard barbecue, call it a day. That being said, there's now this mom who is slamming Tesco for delivering the wrong kind of cake. A supermarket has been accused of the mother of all delivery substitution blunders after they couldn't supply a number 5 for a birthday cake. Instead, the driver turned up with the mathematical equivalent. 2 number 2 candles and a number 1.
No.
So the 45-year-old from Coventry took to the supermarket's Facebook page to complain. Absolute disbelief at the substitution from Tesco for a number 5 birthday candle. 2, 2, and 1 are not the same as 5. Could you imagine?
I mean, whatever. She got 5. It ended up being a 5 anyway. Just blow out the candle and move on with your 5-year-old life. Complaining at 5 doesn't look good for her.
Well, I think she's like 50-something, but yeah.
I'm talking about the 5-year-old, the actual 5-year-old.
I don't think the...
It was just a joke.
She probably just was taking a nap. I don't even know if she was at her own party.
She was like, I gotta go. I don't care.
Charlotte looks like she honestly could care less. It's the mom who just thought that was like a weird thing. I would say if you didn't have the right candle, give me something, but don't make me pay for it.
Yeah, that would have been right.
It's the candle part. I'll pay for the cake.
Somebody commented, you're a lazy woman. You could have just gone out and brought them yourself.
Or,
which is kind of interesting, actually, to order the candles. I guess maybe that would...
Well, she ordered the cake,
do.
I think, and they deliver the cake.
And then they come together. Got it.
So I was thinking, maybe why wouldn't they just do regular candles without a number?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
5 regular stick candles. Like a normal person.
Somebody at Tesco was probably like, this is going to be hilarious. Let's do 2 number 2s and a 1. Not thinking this is going to become a viral story.
Sure.
Do you think the person got fired?
That's a good question. I would hope so.
Well, happy 221 birthday, little girl. I wouldn't have been too upset about it. I think it's actually kind of funny. But I think stuff like that's really funny.
Yeah. Well, sure. I mean, if your birthday cake showed up and it was like 1, a 2, and then 2 more 1s for your 32nd.
I would
thrilled.
Be honored.
Great.
I wish I was that. I wish. What do you think, Justin? You brought the microphone over to yourself.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. When it comes to birthdays, I mean, especially around that age, aren't they all kind of terrible?
They're more like events for the parents
exactly.
sometimes.
That's totally... I think that anybody who ever spends that much money on their children's birthday... The kids don't care. They just want to eat a bunch of sweets and play with their friends, maybe jump in a pool and move on with their lives. They want the presents. They don't care.
Do you even remember your 5th birthday party? Because I don't.
No.
I don't remember mine.
I mean, sure, there's photos, but like I would have been fine either way.
Yeah.
I actually just had I think like when you turn about 10, that's a good time to start having parties. Like now you're double digits, you're really remembering things. But up until then, nobody remembers. My sister-in-law wanted to give my niece a 1-cella party. Meaning when she turned 1, she wanted to make it baby Cella because they couldn't go that year and this was the baby. And I was like, if you waste that money,
That's
can't help
literally
you.
For them.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, it's a reason for people to celebrate, people to come together, but let's call it what it is. It's not for your baby. It's for you.
Oh, well, that wraps it up for us here today at the Morning Beat. We've got a big week. Let's talk about our week.
We do. Well, we're really excited. We may or may not be going to the Drag Race finale this evening.
Oh,
we haven't decided.
We both bail.
Well, you know, here's the thing, sis.
It's
it starts late. And, you know, we like to wake up real early.
Well, we don't love it, but we have to.
We have to.
They
and then
us.
I have some really exciting stuff. I'm filming for the CW starting Thursday. So
you need to go in there and be like, where's my series?
I know.
I've done enough one-offs for you kids.
That's how I feel.
I'm a regular. Where's my billboard?
Oh, my God, a billboard. That's all I could use. I would die for a billboard. And then we've got Doc Halligan tomorrow
That's
to answer all of your veterinarian questions. And then with all this James Charles Charles Mess, this YouTube influencer, it did have us thinking, have you ever made a mistake on social media that could cost you? Did you post a video?
It could cost relationships.
Totally.
It could cost you your job. You know, a lot of people who, I don't know if you've done this, and I think maybe you have, if you've ever commented on something, it's gotten heated, and someone said something really vile to you, and then you click on their social media to see if you can find out anything. I mean, people put their place of business on blast, be like, you know, Macy's, do you really want to hire someone who says blah, blah, blah? Like,
oh,
people do that.
1,000%. Even if you're like a celebrity and you make a comment, and then you're like, shouldn't have said that, and you delete it, people screenshot it so fast that it's too late. All right, well, that's our question tomorrow. Please DM us at Weird Channel Q. Thursday, we've got Jake Shears, who we love. And then Friday, we're bringing it back to Queer Eye because we are going to be talking with Karamo.
That's right. Talk about the new version of Queer Eye, plus all the projects he has, including a new bomber line he has and also his book. I mean, the man's really busy.
That's right. We're so excited. So it has brought us to the end of our show. We hope you have an amazing Monday. As always, thank you to Jeffrey and Justin, our producers. I'm still devastated about Game of Thrones and how disappointing it was. So I have to go cry.
You should go. You should go tonight to Drag Race as Peter Pan Lady.
As Cersei.
Yeah.
As the ghost of Cersei.
Oh, as the ghost of Cersei would be the gag of gags.
I said boo. Let's go. The Morning Beat with Jay and Michaela. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.